Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Exits Closed. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and this is going to be a great show. I have Howie Hawkins, who's the Green Party candidate for president, and I also have on with me Alan Collins, who is the founder and CEO of Alan. Help me
Student
out.
Loan
here.
Justice.
Yeah.
Yes. Studentloanjustice.org.
And we're going to talk about the student loan debt crisis and, you know, what Alan's been doing and what Howie's been doing. So, Alan, why don't you start by giving us a background of your, you know, why you founded the group and how many members you have and how you have persevered for so many years.
Sure, yeah. I started Student Loan Justice 15 years ago, so we're the oldest, largest, and pretty much only true grassroots citizens group fighting for student loan justice. We fought for the return of bankruptcy protections for the first 15 years. But at this point, I have to say, Cynthia, it is a catastrophically failed lending system, primarily because of the gross negligence of the two major parties. And so I am just thrilled that now we have joined the Green Party and others in calling for the cancellation of all student loans because this lending system is – it's cooked. It's done. It's toast. And I can talk about that later. But at this point, we can only endorse the Green Party of all the parties in the race. So I'm very proud to be here with you today.
So, Howie, you have talked about this. Jill mentioned this 4 years ago. Jill Stein, who was running for president on the Green Party line. Tell us a little bit about how you've been addressing the problem, and has the media picked up on what you've been saying?
Well, the media hasn't picked up on anything we've been saying, not the mainstream corporate media, you know, broadcasters, the networks, the big cable news. When we go into local markets, we do get some coverage from newspapers and TV stations and radio stations, but there are hundreds of markets around the country. And the student loan question hasn't come up that much, even though it's a huge problem for tens of millions of people who are carrying these loans that, especially in these economic times, they're never going to be able to pay back. And it's a burden. It holds back the economy. So we should forgive those loans so these people that are carrying them can go forward with their lives and start, you know, start homes, start families, start businesses.
So if the problem is not addressed in this election cycle, what do you see in the future?
Yeah, well, if you're asking me, there'll be defaults. The government's going to eat it anyway. So they might as well just forgive it and help get the economy going. The government has 92% of these student loans. So they're the ones going to take the big hit.
Yeah, I would just say Howie's Howie's exactly right. Even before this pandemic, 80% of all, certainly federal student loan borrowers, and probably roughly the same for private loan borrowers, they were never going to be able to repay their loans. They were either in default, forbearance, they were delinquent, or they were paying, but their balance was going up. And so, speaking of defaults, you know, we can now say confidently that the class of 2004 has a default rate of upwards of 40%. And that class of borrowers way back 16 years ago, they were only borrowing one-third of what the average undergraduate is borrowing today in student loans. So, and again, as Howie said, of the $1.5 trillion in outstanding student loan debt, first of all, most of that is interest. Like, the large majority of that is interest, penalties, fees. It's not original unpaid principal, the government's never going to get that back. That's just a fact. If they get even a couple hundred billion out of that, I think at this point it would be pretty surprising. You know, nobody's paying on their loans right now because of the pandemic. But really, I think that's the nail in the coffin. And the two major party candidates, Biden and Trump, Trump has nothing, just absolutely nothing, he's done nothing, said nothing. Biden is saying things that sound kind of good, but when you look closely at the language that they put on their official website, it becomes pretty clear that Biden is not serious at all, not about returning bankruptcy to the student loans, and certainly not about loan cancellation. What he's proposing is just, frankly, it's an insult to me and to most of the 800,000 members in the student loan justice community. So it's time to go big. It's time for drastic, immediate solutions, and that is canceling all student loans. And as I said, only the Green Party seems to get this. And again, so I'm very happy that we were at least able to endorse the Green Party this time around. We'll see if we see any October Hail Marys from Biden or the president, but time is getting short.
Howie, as you go around campaigning, whether you do it through technology or, you know, gatherings, and if you bring this up, what is the coverage that you're getting as far as this important issue?
Well, like I said, the media has not focused on this. I mean, look, this is the most issueless, vacuous presidential campaign we've ever had. It's all about Trump does tweets, the Democrats react, say, look how terrible he is, and Joe Biden is not Trump. I mean, that right there is a presidential election. It's not about policy. It's about how insulting Trump is to anybody he can scapegoat for the problems that corporate America has caused, you know, like factories moving overseas. It wasn't Mexican immigrants that did that, but you listen to Trump and you might think it was. So there's just not been much discussion about issues. Now, me and Angela Walker, my running mate, have a weekly live question and answer session, and this question has come up there. And I sometimes bring it up, or when I'm doing a meet and greet, somebody will bring it up. And, you know, we explain not just that current loans should be forgiven, but that we need tuition-free public college. We need stipends for the last 4 years, because tuition isn't the only expense to go to school, like we did for the original GI Bill after World War II. But still, you know, students are going to borrow if they're going to a private university where they don't get a full scholarship. And we need a progressive loan program going forward. First thing is, it shouldn't charge interest. I mean, Alan points out that, you know, people are, their loan balances are going up, and most of what they're paying is interest. And most of these loans are federal. The federal government should not be making money off student loans. The point is to get students in school, not make them, you know, debt peons. So first of all, the loan should provide, you know, charge no interest. It should be a federal program. And what we've proposed is that it be, you know, paying off the loan should be scaled to your income. 10% of income above the poverty line. We would double the poverty line. That's another story. And you pay that for a maximum of 20 years. Anything left on the balance would then be forgiven. So that way, you know, people who do borrow would have an affordable way to pay it back. And, you know, if we were to pay for the tuition at private schools, it would actually probably lead to more tuition inflation. And that's been a problem. The cost of colleges have gone through the roof. And it's not going into instruction. It's going into, you know, buildings and administrative salaries, things that don't relate to instruction. So you've got to have, you know, some constraint on that. So that's what we propose going forward, so that money is not an obstacle to people going to college.
Alan, you and I have talked quite a bit off the air. You had mentioned that you had spoken to Joe Biden on a number of occasions. What's your impression of Joe Biden, especially about this issue?
Yeah, great question, Cynthia. First of all, Joe Biden was working against the students for years in the Senate. He was pretty instrumental in getting a bill passed in 2005 that removed bankruptcy protections from private student loans. And I could go on for a while about some of the private personal relationships he's fostered over the years with people like Albert Lord of Sallie Mae and others. But he does not have a good track record on this issue. And under 8 years with President Obama, you know, we heard a lot of hopey, changey, friendly type of language. But the fact of the matter is that nearly $1 trillion was added onto our backs in student loan debt over the 8 years under him and Obama Biden. So on the campaign trail this time around, I followed Joe around for many, many months. And what they are proposing is complicated and it's tricky. And the language is sort of designed to confuse and mislead. And quite frankly, even though Joe Biden is proposing both the return of bankruptcy to student loans and also student loan forgiveness, if you read their plan carefully, it becomes pretty clear that they don't really have any intentions or desires of actually doing that. And what they're proposing would probably never pass Congress and would be dumbed down by the existing establishment. And, you know, Biden says nothing about zero interest, as Howie does for future lending programs, despite the fact that back in 1965, when this lending program was rolled out, LBJ, President Lyndon Baines Johnson, he declared that the loans would be free of interest. And so, you know, when I see that sort of obvious common sense so shockingly absent from Biden's campaign, in addition to everything I just said, it really it tells me that really we're looking at two candidates, neither one of whom are worthy of our endorsement, much less our vote. And so I'm hoping, maybe against hope, but I'm hoping nevertheless, that people will look dispassionately at these candidates, including Howie, and pick the one who is fighting for them, regardless of all else.
You know, people in the media, whether it be print, radio, TV, they've got to know somebody who has that is indebted to the banks because of student debt. You would think one person would stand up and say, "This is wrong. This is really what's going on." Howie, why do you think that's not happening?
Well, the financial industry in this country is so parasitic and so powerful because these government loans are bundled up and sold as, you know, like mortgage-backed securities were in the housing crisis. So in the end, it's private investors that don't want to lose their money, and they have the two capitalist parties, you know, in their sway. And somebody, especially Joe Biden, you know, who comes from Delaware, Center for the Credit Card Industry, is the place where Michael Cohen, for example, went to set up a LLC to pay off Trump's bimbos because there's so little regulation in that state. That's who Joe Biden is. He's been the senator from that industry since the 1970s. So they have no interest in crossing the gravy train that brought them to where they are.
Wow. So, Alan, would you characterize Joe Biden as, and I hate to use this phrase, less than honorable? Alan?
Well, if that question is to me, I will say that Joe Biden is a professional politician. And, you know, people say that he's getting dementia and he's getting slower and et cetera. You know, I've spent many hours with him, eyeball to eyeball, on the campaign trail in Iowa. And the way he answers questions, quite frankly, I think it's very cleverly honed and designed so that people can interpret whatever he says in three, if not four or more, different ways. So I think he's a slick guy who knows how to play the game. He's good at it. In terms of honor, I think I'm just going to leave that one alone. You know,
okay.
He's a professional politician. I think that says it all.
Okay. Howie, Alan just said a good phrase. He knows how to play the game. The game is stacked up against the regular people. Why haven't the people realized that when you go and vote, you vote for candidates who are not going to represent you, but represent the big corporate interests in this country? So what's it going to take for people to wake up? What do you think, Howie?
It's going to take a mass party on the left that is organized in communities, that educates itself, its own members, is trusted by those communities and can educate the communities so people understand what's going on. It's hard to follow the news if you're working, if you're raising a family, and you don't trust the news sources you've got. And that's a problem. Trump has greatly contributed to that, but it was already a problem, because people had good reason not to trust the sources they got. Remember weapons of mass destruction? You know, things like that. People lose faith in their news sources, and then they throw up their hands. They don't know who to believe. It's very confusing. And so in the end, the people that still vote, a lot of people say, I'm not voting. I don't trust any of them. And that actually is the largest block of voters, more than the Democrats or Republicans get in presidential elections. It was 100 million people in 2016. And then those people that vote Democrat or Republican, they're mostly voting against the other party, not for their own party. So the Democrats are rightly afraid of Trump. And the Republicans think Biden, you know, is going to bring in a socialist dictatorship, because that's what Trump says he's going to do. You know, and I keep telling the media, you know, Biden's not the socialist in this, it's me. And we're not talking about a dictatorship. We're talking about economic democracy, expanding our democracy. Mm-hmm. And that would secure more political democracy. But, and I think the only solution to that is for the left to get into the communities, organize local branches of the party, and have a relationship with the people that they trust, so we can educate people. And then they'll understand that they have another option and that we got no solutions from these two corporate parties. But that's, to me, what it's going to take. We can't. The progressive Democrats are not going to take over the Democratic Party. The corporate media isn't suddenly going to get honest or say anything that's outside the two-party mainstream. It's a two-party corporate state. And the corporate media is corporate state media. They're stenographers for the two corporate parties. I mean, take an issue like this new nuclear arms race. The Bulletin of Atomic Science says their doomsday clock the closest it's ever been to midnight. But both parties are committed to these new strategic nukes and more nukes in the tactical forces, tactical nukes in the conventional forces. So because the leadership of both parties, all their presidential candidates, don't talk about the issue, the corporate media doesn't talk about the issue. And Americans don't even know it's an issue.
I've got a question for you, Howie. When you use the word socialist, that might turn off people. You know, as bad as things are, people still believe in capitalism, and I don't think this is the right time to use the word socialism. Do you think that socialism might hurt your campaign?
Well, with some people, but the whole discourse around the word socialism has changed. It used to be a conversation stopper across the board, but in recent years it's become a conversation starter. So we have public opinion polls showing the majority of young people are interested and support socialism. And I don't think people are so much for capitalism as that they've been, you know, given a bunch of lies about what socialism really is about. And so I think it's a good time to open up that discussion, because we need real solutions. And if we keep relying on, you know, trickle-down economics, where the government gives more money to the rich folks who are supposed to invest in new factories and jobs, which doesn't happen, it never trickles down. They just hoard that money, buy more stocks, bonds, commodities, real estate, the productive assets we already have. we're going to get no solutions, whether it's climate or the inequality that has working class life expectancies in decline, or these endless wars in the new nuclear arms race. There's no solutions there within a capitalist framework. How do you balance the economy with the environment when the economy is structured around endless growth, which is built into capitalism, its competitive structure? So these are issues we need to start talking about, because we don't have time to fool around with tinkering with a system that has really put us on the edge of destruction.
Alan, you have thousands of people in your organization. You know, I was a kid in the 60s. I saw all the stuff that went on in the 60s. And I'm wondering why it's not happening now. Why young people who are indebted up to their eyeballs aren't marching in the street? What do you think? Why do you think this is not happening?
Well, you know, I go back to what John Adams said like 250 years ago. He said, you know, there are two ways to conquer and enslave a country. One is by the sword, obviously. The other is by debt. You know, debt is a very effective way to keep people distracted, desperate, vulnerable, and, you know, maybe not unwilling, but unable to really devote themselves to changing or fixing problems. And, you know, I have to think that that's sort of what's been going on for the past 20, 30 years on the student loan problem. But, you know, something's got to give. You know, we are now at the point where, as I said, it is by all reasonable metrics and measures, catastrophically failed lending system. And people are waking up as we speak to that fact. And I can only hope that people will take a step back and say, wait a minute, these two parties that we keep putting into office clearly don't have the solution to this problem. Let's start looking somewhere else. Let's stop depending on this two-party duopoly to solve our problems that, at least in the case of student loans, they themselves caused, I should add. And let's start turning into our local communities, our local relationships, and let's start over again, really. You know, let's re-empower ourselves. And if that takes us to a place where the Green Party is, well, then so be it. But certainly this, from the context of the student loan problem, it's breaking all around us right now, and people are waking up. Whether in time to vote the right way on November 3rd, we'll see. but certainly it's time for radical change, and neither the Democrats or the Republicans are offering that.
And I would say young people are marching in the streets. I mean, we've had a massive outpouring against police brutality and racism, with young white folks coming out in solidarity with black and brown folks. And that anti-racism is, I think, a proxy for a broader anti-inequality, because young people don't have good economic prospects. Many of them have the student loan burden, and they got their own issues. And I think you look at the scale of the people that came out, it's bigger than we had during the anti-Vietnam War movement, except maybe in the fall of, when was it, 71 or 70, when we had the Vietnam moratorium and then the big demonstrations the next month that scared the hell out of Nixon and Kissinger. I mean, it's been pretty big. The problem is, are people settling for Biden as the lesser evil, and we're going to end up, you know, still in the swamp. And but I think, you know, there is a lot of unrest, dissatisfaction. And I also think, you know, the polls show Biden should win in a landslide if the mail-in ballots are counted, and we got to make sure that happens. But he's going to disappoint progressives. I think the honeymoon will be short, and then it'll be our opportunity to keep pressing forward on these issues.
You know, Howie, when I talk to people and we talk about the election, and I mention Howie Hawkins and the Green Party, they look at me like, what are you talking about? People are so afraid that if you're a Democrat and you don't vote for Biden, you're almost committing treason. What do you say to people who look at the Green Party, but yet they're being ridiculed for doing so?
Well, I would shame them back. You're in New York. Biden is ahead in the polls the last week, 32, 33 points. Trump is toast. So the question for progressives is, how are you going to vote against Trump? You can vote for Biden, who has no real solutions, who's against Medicare for All, against the Green New Deal, against ending these endless wars, or are you going to vote for the Green Ticket, which is for Medicare for All, a Green New Deal, ending these endless wars, student debt relief, and these other progressive changes? And if you don't vote for what you want, you'll never get it. And you're giving Biden permission to take you for granted, because you didn't say you wanted Medicare for All, Green New Deal, and student debt relief. You voted for Biden, who's against those things. So shame on any progressive in a state like New York, where it's not even going to be close. Make your vote count. Yeah. Don't waste it.
Okay, so we have a couple of minutes left, and let me start with you, Alan. This is such an important issue. This is such an important election. Give your contact information. I know we have a couple of weeks left, but miracles happen. Give your contact information for anybody who wants to contact you and how they could get involved in the final weeks of the campaign.
Sure, absolutely. People can find us at studentinvestors.org. They can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/SLG group. Probably the most important thing is I'd like for everyone to go and sign our petition to cancel all federally owned student loans by executive order. So that is change.org/cancel student loans.
Great. And Howie, give your information. So,
well, they should go to our website, howiehawkins.us, and there they can find out more about our positions. They can volunteer. They can donate.
Great. It was such a pleasure to talk to both of you. You've been listening to Alan Collins, who's head of studentloanjustice.org, and Howie Hawkins, who is the Green Party candidate for President of the United States. I'm Cynthia Pooler. This is All Exits Closed. If you like this show, follow us on Twitter. Thanks, guys. Good luck. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.
Thank you.